This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's been a little bit since I had a live show. You know, I was out of town and there was holidays and there were reruns and Raymond filled in. There was a lot going on. As you may know, I went to this amazing event called Desire, Swing Set Takes Over Desire. I was telling you about it nonstop in the lead up to it, but it's where the folks at the Swing Set have this complete takeover of the Desire Resort in Cancun, Mexico, for a sex positive event. And let me tell you, people, it was amazing. I had the time of my life. We recorded a show there, which may be a one or a two-parter. I'm not sure yet. So you're going to get a little bit of a taste of what it was like from that show recording. And I'm also working on a piece that I'm writing about my experience there. But let me tell you, I cannot recommend this event enough. It challenged my ideas about swingers and heterosexuality on a number of levels. And it was really transformative and incredible. And I just totally recommend it. You can book. I've already been invited back, which is so exciting. So it's already in my calendar for next November. And you can book your spot at ssdesire.com. So I'm going to talk much more about it. But for now, let me just tell you, it was really spectacular. Okay, so let me tell you about today's guest, everyone. Maureen McGrath is a registered nurse in clinical practice in the field of sexual health. She hosts the Sunday Night Sex Show on News Talk 980 CKNW, which also could be listened to and downloaded for free on iTunes. Her TEDx talk on the no sex marriage has received nearly 7 million views in the past year. She's also the executive director of the Women's Health Initiative Network, a not-for-profit organization to raise awareness about women's issues such as uterine fibroids, bladder, vaginal, and sexual health. She's the author of the book Sex and Health: Why One Can't Come Without the Other. She's the recipient of the 2009 VCH Nursing Excellence Award, a 2013 YWCA Women of Distinction finalist, and the 2016 Vancouver Board of Trade Community Catalyst Award. You can find her online at backtothebedroom.ca, and her blog is 50shadesofpink.ca. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Maureen.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Tristan. It's my pleasure.
I'm so excited that you're a registered nurse talking about sexual health because, let me tell you, the people in the healthcare professions, we just don't have enough folks who are MDs and RNs and physician's assistants who are talking about sexual health. We just had a gynecologist on and talked about this. So my first question is, when you were in nursing school, what kind of discussions and training was there about sex?
There was a very limited amount of sex education or even discussion around educating our future patients about sex and sexuality, and especially as it related to health. I do recall one instructor telling one personal story of do not allow your lover to blow into your vagina because it may cause a pulmonary embolus. So again, fear-based sex education. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much all that there was. And, you know, there's a real paucity of the sex or sex and sexuality in patient assessment, whether it be in the GP's office or in the hospital. And yet it is so tied to good health. It's a shame that we leave it out so much, but it's in part because it's such a taboo subject and people are so uncomfortable around it. But I'm glad you're comfortable about it and having this radio show. So that's great.
Well, and it seems to me, we know that people go to their healthcare providers for this kind of information. So the fact that, you know, this is like somewhat, you must field questions literally all the time about sex.
All day long, all day and all night long. You know, people are embarrassed to go to their doctors about sexuality issues or questions, or they automatically assume it's not a problem or that nothing can be done about it. One example is vaginal dryness, which I hate to start off the program with, that subject, but that affects about 80% of women, and it can affect women of all ages, women who are on the birth control pill, women who are breastfeeding, women who are pregnant, postpartum, perimenopausal, menopausal. It leads to painful sex and low sexual desire and will impact a relationship. It can actually lead to divorce, and I've seen that repeatedly in my clinical practice, and yet women are afraid to seek treatment for it. And they believe that lubrication or lubes are the only treatment for it. I heard a man say that yesterday. In the relationship we have, there's some dryness and pain. And so, of course, we just use lubes. And that's not the treatment for it. And so that's why these are such important subjects.
So someone who'd present with vaginal dryness, what would you recommend besides lube?
I would actually recommend a personal moisturizer to start, a hormone-free personal moisturizer. The reason that women experience vaginal dryness is because of a decrease in the estrogen receptors in the urogenital tract. It's a condition known as genitourinary syndrome of menopause. It can lead to dryness, pain, leakage of thin watery discharge, burning, itching, and recurrent urinary tract infections. So if you just have the vaginal dryness, it's great to start with just a personal moisturizer, which you can pick up at the drugstore here. One of the great ones is called Femme, P-H-E-M-M-E. And they're on the shelf. You can pick it up. It has an applicator, this particular one. It's a preloaded syringe inserted into the vagina 2 to 3 times a week. So you likely won't need lubrication unless you want it to increase your playfulness, increase the sensation during intimate times. But otherwise, you may not even need to use a lubricant, which can be messy and they can be greasy and smelly and they have their own issues as well. So that would be the first step. And then the second step would be, if that doesn't work, to speak to your doctor about a prescription for a low-dose localized estrogen therapy. Estrogen is the hormone regulator of the vagina. It keeps it healthy, prevents infection. And then if that doesn't work, or you perhaps had treatment for breast cancer, you have an estrogen-dependent breast cancer, we have some new laser therapies. One in particular is called the Mona Lisa Touch, and it's a new, novel, innovative treatment for women that can be done in the doctor's office. It takes about 5 minutes. It's painless. There's no interruption in your work or your life, and after 3 treatments, it can restore a woman, especially a perimenopausal or menopausal woman, to the vagina of yesteryear. So what she was like, perhaps in her 20s or teens, maybe.
I don't know if I want my vagina of yesteryear, but okay. No, I totally get it. Interestingly, you said like a localized estrogen cream. I'm wondering, as a nurse, what your take on hormone replacement therapy is and bioidentical hormones. We haven't talked about this on the show, and so now I've got you, and I'm intrigued.
It's a great subject, and I did specifically say low-dose localized or topical estrogen, and so it's a very, very small amount. You cannot treat vaginal dryness or GSM or vaginal atrophy with hormone replacement therapy, which we now call hormone therapy, because we're not really replacing hormones of what, age 26, 32. So it's really hormone therapy. And that often doesn't treat the vagina. So a woman needs localized topical treatment. Hormone therapy, or what you refer to as hormone replacement therapy, which it used to be called, is actually used for vasomotor symptoms of menopause. So the most common ones we hear about are night sweats and hot flashes, anxiety, heart palpitations. But, you know, those are the most commonly known. But the most common symptom is of menopause is leg pain and joint pain and foot pain. And so bioidentical or the is another story, because the bioidentical is actually the one that is prescribed. And it's a gel. It's not in the form of a tablet. It's in the form of a gel. And you put it, you know, one or two pumps on the fatty area of your body, your thighs or your bottom. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy around it because of the Women's Health Initiative study in 2002 that was stopped abruptly because they enrolled elderly women into a menopausal study. And so they found an exorbitant amount of cardiovascular adverse events, as well as neurological and breast cancer. But those naturally increase. The risk of those increases with age. So the study was incredibly flawed. So there's new guidelines around hormone therapy. And it's a conversation a woman needs to have with her doctor. It's, you know, when you're compounding it, you're not necessarily getting a reliable dose. Oftentimes people will take products that they are told are bioidentical, but they're not. The most bioidentical is actually that which has been prescribed by your physician. And it's also been clinically tested. It's been approved by Health Canada or FDA. And so it's actually gone through the rigorous testing and rigorous clinical trials to show that it is safe. All of these other products that are out there, which are often referred to as bioidentical or natural, because you can call anything natural and without having to get approval, but they can be dangerous as well. They will have estrogen. You really need to be under the care of your doctor. Estrogen is not something you can start and stop. It will have an impact on the endothelium in your blood vessels and put you at greater risk for stroke. So it's a very important subject that a woman needs to speak directly to and not to be afraid of. A woman doesn't have to live such a poor quality of life experiencing all of those symptoms because of a fear of estrogen. There's more recent research out. The KEEP study actually demonstrated that the risk is not as high as what was thought in the Women's Health Initiative study. But even in that one, it went from 8 per 1,000. Your risk was 8 per 1,000 to 13 per 1,000. So it didn't really increase even that much with the age of having women in their 60s and 70s. But when a woman gets breast cancer, it's 100% for her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, that was a lot of information to digest.
It is.
let's take our first commercial break, hear from our fantastic sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk all about, we're going to talk about the sexless marriage and we're going to talk about hormones a little bit more. So stay with us, more Sex Out Loud when we return. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, just like you heard Cooper Beckett say, you can email me at Tristan@puckerup.com with your questions and comments. You can also tweet at us at Sex Out Loud Radio, and you can call us. If you're listening live, you can call 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. We also have a 24-hour voicemail line. So if you're not listening live and you have a question or comment, you can call 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. My guest today is registered nurse Maureen McGrath, who has this great TED Talk that you should look up called No Sex Marriage, and also wrote a book called Sex and Health, Why One Can't Come Without the Other. Okay, so before we depart the world of hormones, Maureen, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is a friend of mine posted just today on Facebook that she is trying a testosterone cream to increase her libido. She and her partner are not in sync, which I know is super, super common. And in order to increase her libido, she's trying this local testosterone cream. What are your thoughts on that?
She'd be better off donning a set of hot red pumps and strutting her stuff.
Meaning what?
Her body image is okay.
Oh.
Meaning, you know, get naked, get into it. Increasing your sexuality or your sexual desire takes work. There's actually no clinical evidence to support that testosterone will increase a woman's sexual desire. It is prescribed quite frequently by physicians because they don't know what to do, in part. And some believe that it works. And you know what? There is a 30% placebo effect no matter what you do. But she'd get way better results taking a page out of Nike's book, Just Do It. Because we get confused around sexuality and the response cycle, the female sexual response cycle.
Well, right.
Desire comes first.
Right. And so you very much subscribe to what is the most current thinking about female sexual desire, which is that it's not a case of spontaneous desire. Like, you come home from work and you see your partner and you're like, oh my God, I have to have you. I just have to have you right now. But instead, like, as you said, desire can come after the arousal process. Like, you can get into it and then experience desire.
Absolutely. If you get into it, you don't feel like doing it, for example, and your partner has pressured you, and typically more men initiate than women, and you just think, I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I've had the kids hanging on me all day. I've been at work. I'm stressed. I don't want to. If you just reframe that, change that, and think, you know what? I don't want to, but I will for me. And you do, and you start to enjoy it. That's what we call responsive desire.
Mm. And there's a great book. If people want to know more about this, I want to highly recommend the Emily Nagoski book, Come As You Are, which has the most up-to-date science and research on female sexuality and talks about female sexuality in a much more modern way than we've been used to talking about it, which is essentially using the sort of male framework of desire and arousal and just sort of slapping it on women, saying, oh yeah, the same thing happens to women. We know this happens in men. Oh, and yeah, it happens in women too, without actually, you know, testing women and talking to them and really understanding women's sexuality.
You're absolutely correct.
So your this TEDx talk that I heard, which is on the no sex marriage, it's very provocative. You've jam-packed a lot of things into it. But it's a topic that, you know, I think people talk about regularly and is certainly one of the number one reasons people go to sex therapy or certainly seek out like sex coaching or advice or anything, which is the sexless marriage. And it's interesting because you open by saying there are people who aren't having sex, and if everyone's okay with that, it is actually okay.
There's no problem. Right. Absolutely. Because people will get very upset. I mean, if you talk about sexless marriage and people are like, we enjoy intimacy. We would prefer to hold hands. Neither one of us want to have sex. My husband has a medical condition. My wife has dementia, but we still love each other and we're committed and we have an intimate relationship. So there's no problem.
But then the problems arise when one or both of the partners aren't satisfied with that. They actually want to be having sex and they're not having sex.
It's more commonly that one wants to have sex and the other doesn't.
Right. And then what do you think are some of the contributing factors to this? Because everyone has the kind of their own theories on why you lose the spark and why marriages kind of lose their sexual drive after a while.
Well, you know, it's funny. A friend of mine got married and I didn't know he wasn't married to the woman that he was living with, and they have a couple of kids. So he said, "Hey, I got married last weekend." And I said, "What did you do that for? Didn't you see my TEDx talk? Do you not want to have sex now?" Anyway, when I was doing this talk, I said to the organizers of the event, "I'm going to be letting the cat out of the bag. People think you get married, it's guaranteed great sex for the rest of your life. Nothing could be further from the truth. And let's start with PEA, the hormone of love, the phenylethylamine, or PEA, it's easier to call it. Mm-hmm. We meet somebody, it's a natural hormone that occurs in the brain. It promotes feelings of infatuation. When we meet someone that we're attracted to, that we're aroused by, that we may be falling in love with, you know, this starts scourging through our blood vessels. It's, you know, when you're first in love, you want to talk to them all night on the phone, you want to stay up with them, you want to text them constantly. The dopamine and norepinephrine levels go up. And
addition to the dopamine and norepinephrine. This is because I know about the happy, yeah, sort of like, you know, heroin like chemicals, but I haven't heard about the PEA, which is a separate thing.
This is the hormone of love. One is, you know, dopamine is bonding, and but this is the same as when these hormones are released. This is the same as the high that somebody gets from a street drug, or you know, like cocaine, or when somebody wins the lottery, or when somebody becomes frightened or angry. So they really are exciting. And these hormones, the release of these hormones results in this infatuation. The high dopamine results in the feeling of addiction or obsession, and the norepinephrine leads to an intense interaction with sort of that physical giddiness. Somebody's always happy. You can see them. You know, they must be in love, kind of a thing. So the person feels a little aroused, a little edgy, you know, excited, and they don't need as much sleep. They may lose a little bit of weight because they lose their appetite. There's sort of this narrow focus on the mate and the mating activity, and they seem to be obsessed about that. So this is released at the beginning, but of course it doesn't, like all good things, it must end. And so it ends after about 18 months on average. And also when you start living with somebody and sharing the same bathroom with them and seeing them at their worst and perhaps, you know, not really having known them, you know, as to how they deal with finances or how they may deal with children or how they may deal with stress. And the other thing is that there's some research out there that we choose partners that can almost answer the questions as to the caregivers we had as children. Mm. So, you know, we're not even necessarily ending up with a person that we're necessarily truly in love with. We're sort of excited because this person can solve a problem of childhood for us. So there's so many things going on and so many hormones going on, but with everyday life comes the mundane, the boring, if you're lucky, but you can have the exciting as well, which can be very stressful. I had a patient in my clinical practice recently who was married to a sociopath who actually engaged in serious criminal activity. They lived in a wealthy community, serious criminal activity, which was publicized all over the papers, and very in the children's schools, everybody knew about it in the community. And, you know, this is also somebody he just never expected that he had married. And of course, that can lead to troubles in the bedroom as well. So there's a host of reasons. People may gain weight. They may, you know, be comfortable in love and gain weight and then not care about their body image. or think that they can't do anything about their body image. Depression comes along, medication side effects, babies come along, pregnancy, breastfeeding, postpartum depression. There are so many things that change things in the bedroom for couples.
And so I was struck most by this one story you told, because you told stories about real people in your talk. And one of them was about a friend of yours where you had driven her home after like a girl's night out. And she said, "Oh, the bedroom light is on. My husband's waiting up for me. Drive around the block." It was heartbreaking, actually. It was really heartbreaking, like that she didn't want to go into the house. Like she was like, just let's kill some time and maybe he'll fall asleep.
Exactly.
I mean, what's the prescription? Well, first of all, what is there any insight into why she didn't want to have sex?
They had problems in their relationship, quite frankly. You know, the funniest thing about that is I also included that story, I think, in my book. But somebody said to me, "Oh, the story you told about, you know, the woman who didn't want to go in to her, her home because her husband, you know, the light was on in their bedroom." She said, "I know who you were talking about. That was my neighbor." And I said, "It wasn't your neighbor, because the person doesn't even live in this country."
right.
But it also underscores just how common that kind of thing is, right? But that particular couple had issues in the relationship. And so if there's any advice I can give out there, deal with your issues. You got to deal with them individually first. Look at yourself. How is it that you are contributing to the problems in the marriage? Like, a lot of people have anger issues, and they deny that. You know, people are afraid of being imperfect. And yet, as human beings, that's the beauty of us. We are imperfect. Know your weaknesses. Work to change them. There are so many resources out there today. But, you know, a lot of people expect that, you know, men or women expect their partner to want to make love to them after they've just been screamed at or abused, or that, you know, somebody's lost their temper. They're acting like a child. I had a couple in my clinical practice. She had no education around sex. She got married as a 20-year-old. She had been fondled as a 4-year-old. She married a man who had been raped as a 16-year-old. And so there was no other direction for this situation to go, in which I said to them, but towards sexless marriage, low sexual desire, unworthiness feelings, you know, feelings of loneliness and feelings of not being good enough, and also feelings on his part of, you know, proving his masculinity and then leading to infidelity, which is exactly what happened. You would never expect that situation to work out any better given what had happened. And shortly after they got married, she got very ill. And so that actually led to low sexual desire right out of the bat, you know, right out of the gates, right off the bat. And so there are so many issues in there, and they've carried on for 20 years. He has since had a couple of other affairs, and they've both had depression and anxiety, and they've really never sought any treatment for this. And now, of course, like a lot of men who cheat, and women cheat too, but when men cheat, men are shamed, publicly shamed about cheating, more so than women, in part because I don't think men look at women cheating in the same way as women look at men cheating. It's the ultimate betrayal. Mm. So they also have to live with this public shaming in the community. And so now with this most recent affair that this husband has had, the entire community knows about it. And that means his church community and his neighborhood and his in-laws, and everybody knows, and they've judged him, but they don't have all the information. As I said to them, they don't know that you were in a sexless marriage. They don't know that you were raped as a 16-year-old and you question your masculinity. They don't know you suffer from anxiety and depression. So there's so much that encompasses these issues quite often.
Okay. We got to continue that, but we got to take another commercial break. That one little story just totally piqued my interest. Okay. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk more about this. And I do want to talk about cheating. So stay with us more with Maureen McGrath when we return. Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their Educators Picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my amazing sponsor, the Pleasure Chest, and let you know about a big sale that's happening for the entire month of December. There's a special happening online, which is if you spend $100, you get $15. And if you spend $150, you get $25. That happens all the way through December 31st. So you can find that online at pleasurechest.com. Also, you know they have this great Pleasure Ed program with a bunch of classes. The classes are usually all from 8 to 10, and most of them are free. Let me tell you what's coming up. In Los Angeles, December 6th, head of the class, Blowjobs 201. December 7th, Naughty and Nice Holiday Party. And there's going to be special guests, special celebrity guests there, so you should check that out. December 10th, Sensual Sunday, Sex Toys 101. In New York City, December 3rd, Spice Up Your Life with Corinne and Sloan. December 7th, at the West Village location, because usually all these classes are at the Upper East Side, Feast of Temptations, Aphrodisiacs, and more. And then that same night, December 7th, on the Upper East Side, Why Are People Into That? A live podcast recording with Tina Horn with special guest Barbara Corellis. In Chicago, December 3rd, Naughty and Nice Photo Booth Holiday Party. And December 8th, Rewriting Your Scripts with Jacqueline Friedman. A couple weeks ago, I had Jacqueline on the show to talk about her new book, Unscrewed. She's an incredible teacher and presenter. So if you are in the Chicago area, you don't want to miss seeing her live. That's December 8th. Go to pleasurechest.com to find out about these events and more, and also take advantage of that big sale. Okay, so we're talking with Maureen McGrath, and we got into a little bit, we started talking a little bit about cheating, and I wanted to, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. One is, one of the things you say, is, which I think is really fascinating, is you say men cheat in a sexless marriage to remain in that marriage. Women cheat in a sexless marriage to leave that marriage.
It's a general statement, but...
Sure, but tell me about that. Tell me about the thinking behind that.
Well, the thinking is that, you know, marriage and sex are very different. And you know, marriage is a big proposition today, quite frankly. It's a big financial commitment. There's a lot at stake. With marriage, you get in-laws, you get a yacht club, perhaps. You get a membership to, you know, a community center or a country club. You get kids and kids in school, and you get neighbors and friends and teams and... You know, it's a big deal, and but sex is a very important aspect of that marriage, and there are different expectations, and people enter marriage without having fully disclosed what maybe has happened to them that has affected their sexuality, like unwanted sexual advances or rape or sexual abuse, and so you know, people are happy with their with the marriage because they're happy with their home and they're happy with the dinners that are served and they're happy driving their car to work. But they're missing something very significant in that marriage. In fact, there was a Globe and Mail national survey that was done that showed that 70% of the respondents were happy in their marriage, but more than 52% were dissatisfied with their sex lives. And so in order to have it all, instead of dealing with the problem, because the only way that men seem to be able to deal with the problem is to initiate sex and then to be rejected repeatedly, is they become a vulnerable person. There are more women in the workplace today. There's online, there's Facebook, connecting with past loves on Facebook who may be in a similar situation. There's so much opportunity today. And, you know, the opportunity is there. And the risk is very high in a sexless marriage for infidelity.
But it begs the question, like, can we form these partnerships, like you said, where this person is going to be your co-parent and your partner in life and your companion within community and spiritual communities? And then can that same person also sexually satisfy you? It seems like we're asking a lot, is what I'm saying.
Marriage today is just incredible. There's so much put on that person that you marry. We expect them to be our confidant, our friend, our lover, our partner, co-parent, financier. There's just so many expectations. They are the be-all, end-all. Shockingly enough, I had a woman in my clinical practice this week, and she's been with a man for 10 years, and she told me that they just got married. They have been in a sexless relationship for 10 years, and he married her knowing that. They have desire discrepancy. He wants to have sex, and she doesn't. And she just says, oh, poor guy, and I feel so badly, I know. But lots of focus on the wedding, lots of focus on, you know, how great it was and how the friends were there and they danced. But there's no intimacy in the marriage, and she's got low sexual desire. She just didn't know how to get it back.
And okay, so this is new for you, but what's the approach you're going to take with her?
Well, with her, I just do it. She needs to actually self-explore. She needs to, you know, the biggest sex organ is the brain, and a woman needs to take time to, this particular woman needs to take time to explore herself, get back to what feels good, to remember what feels good. I often prescribe the Womanizer, which is a clitoral suckling device, sex toy. It's not a vibrator. It is, I prescribe it for, it's therapeutic for my patients who have primary anorgasmia. Patients who have never experienced orgasm or have difficulty experiencing orgasm. So she has a bit of difficulty experiencing orgasm. A lot of women, you know, it takes a protracted period of time, upwards of 20 minutes to experience an orgasm. Not so with the Womanizer. It will reduce that time significantly. And also just, you know, going through and how does she feel about herself? You know, does she feel good about her body? Does she feel good naked? Can she strut her stuff? If not, it's the strut your stuff, get naked diet, you know, dealing with those issues. I have women who say, I don't feel like I did, you know, 10 years ago. And I say, well, what's different? They'll say, my hair is gray. And I'll say, well, dye your hair. Well, I don't have enough time. This is the other thing. We are over busy, over committed, way too much going on outside of our bedrooms to actually engage in our bedrooms. And so for her, I really suggested a commitment to increasing the intimacy in her own home, and did also discuss the risks of infidelity. And she said, like every woman I speak to says, my husband is patient until they find out that he wasn't.
Right. And I mean, I think the other thing too is the story you told about the woman who didn't want to go inside the house and wanted to drive around the block, you know, just as likely as her having these sort of unresolved relationship issues, and then that sort of holds her back from wanting to have sex with her husband. She could also be having like super unsatisfying sex, so that when she thinks about having sex, she's like, you know what, he gets off and I don't, or she doesn't have a sense of empowerment or sexual agency where she can sort of take responsibility for her own pleasure. So I think that can be a piece of it too, which is like, the sex I'm having is not satisfying, so why do I want to keep having it?
It certainly is a piece of it. I think it's more so women don't even, you know, they don't feel vulnerable enough to go there. Mm. You know, you really need to fully trust, release yourself, be fully 100% comfortable with your body. There are women who, you know, are nervous about how their thighs look or what their stomach looks like. They don't want their lover, their partner, their husband, whatever, to touch their... You know, a lot of people bring the computers and the iPads and the iPhones into the bedroom because that's addictive. And also you can answer emails, you can get things done at work. And so that takes priority over making love to your partner. And because that can be exciting. To be honest with you, in a long-term relationship, the sex can get very boring, very dull. And it's more women report boredom in the bedroom than men do. Men are quite happy to have sex with the same person for the rest of their lives. But women actually want more variety. They change, they grow, they develop, they get more comfortable with their sexuality. And so this results in a desire to be more playful, to experiment more, to, you know, but it can be in their heads, really. So that's why you have to really keep it exciting and keep the interest up. And that's also why it's important for couples to take care of each other, their own self. Their weight, for example. Men start to age and they get a big gut and they think, why doesn't she want to have sex with me? Or they get erectile dysfunction. And the same thing. And I can't tell you how many men I've said, you know, to them, they've come in because their wives have low sexual desire, but they have erectile dysfunction that's untreated. I say no woman is attracted to a flaccid penis. Newsflash. You heard it first here.
Well, but also I think we have these really narrow definitions of sex, right? Is that I feel like if your penis is not working, like, are your hands and mouth working? Well, let's get to it. You know, I just feel like, especially for straight people, like there has to be this expanded idea of pleasure, because I think women can experience pleasure in all sorts of ways. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be about the cock.
Absolutely. But, you know, unfortunately, we have been socialized to believe that it's all about the penis. And men have been socialized that the pleasure is for them. And so for them, they may want oral sex on a flaccid penis. But it's not appealing for women to do that. You know, also not a lot of women, I mean, you know, many women, I should say, are not comfortable performing oral sex. Many men are not comfortable receiving oral sex. I had a case in my practice this week where he had been bitten as an 18-year-old. He had oral sex performed on him as an 18-year-old, and he said the woman was a biter. And I've just never been one. He'd been in a 20-year sexless marriage, so it didn't matter, but now he's in a relationship, and she would like to pleasure him that way, and he doesn't want it because he has had this feedback loop that says, no, I don't want to get bitten again. I have a fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay. It's so complex and there's so many different aspects.
So many different issues at play. Okay, we got to take another commercial break. But don't go anywhere, people. Let's hear from the sponsors and then we'll come back and talk more about this. Stay with us. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking with my guest, who is registered nurse Maureen McGrath, and we've been talking about the sexless marriage. I want to go back to two points from before the break. The first one is, I really don't think it's about like the gut or the weight gain as much as like how that affects your own body image. Because I feel like our bodies, we're all getting older. Like no one has, you know, been able to reverse aging, right? So our bodies are changing and we're all getting older. And I feel like it's a matter of kind of letting go of this notion that our bodies have to look a certain way in order for us to be desirable or be attractive. So I'm of the belief that like you've got to get with your body as it is now today, as Elle Chase would say, who's a sex educator and talks a lot about body positivity. It's like, you're not going to wait until you lose 10 pounds. You are entitled to sexuality and you are desirable today.
Interesting. It's not what I see in my clinical practice. I see, and you know what, could also be about the effort as well. That people, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody and they don't care about themselves, and that's what it may demonstrate for people. Mind you, you know, it doesn't mean that if somebody is overweight or larger size that they're not sexual beings and that they're not, you know, attractive and that they're not sexually active. Or, you know, in fact, the only person in my clinical practice at the moment who is sexually active weighs about 300 pounds, and so does her partner. So it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's more about what you bring to the relationship, who you bring. And so I think as women age, there's so many things that can help them to feel good about themselves. And, you know, there's makeup and hair dye and clothing and Botox and fillers and all that kind of stuff. But for men, they just kind of, you know, a lot of men just go, you know what? Doesn't matter. I'm just going to sit on the couch, beer, chips, the remote control. You know, why don't you want to have sex with me? It's not attractive. That's why.
And that feels more also just like checking out and sort of being less engaged. Because I think sometimes
and it is.
Yeah. You know, the sitting on the couch with the beer is like, is also about disengagement. But I'm also
like,
curious,
honey,
about
let's have sex. You know, they still want to have sex. That's the thing. They don't bring the best person to the relationship. Go ahead, sorry.
The other thing that I was struck by is that it seems like very common in your practice, you know, that eventually people will reveal these various traumas that have happened to them and that have gone sort of unacknowledged by them, or they haven't said it out loud or shared it with their partner. They've sort of gone untreated, you know, they haven't worked through them. And so that seems like that would be really significant, that many of us experience all kinds of coercion, abuse, harassment, trauma, and then we sort of get with someone, and of course that trauma can get triggered, can get played out in different ways, can get buried, can come back up to the surface. You know, do you feel like a significant portion of the people you see, there is unresolved trauma?
Well, it's so common. You know, it's an underestimated report that one in three women have been sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Most cases go unreported. And so it's difficult for me to even, I do a lot of presentations, a lot of speaking engagements, and I know when I bring up sexual abuse or sexual trauma, childhood sexual abuse, unwanted sexual advances, rape, that there's a significant number of women in the room who've been affected by this, and also a number of men, mm-hmm. And which is an even bigger shame for men, because men are socialized to be masculine and strong and powerful, and here they something happens to them like that, and they're obsessed with seeking their sexuality, having homophobic fears. They should have stopped it. They should have been stronger. Can result in anxiety and depression, substance use and abuse. It can lead to all sorts of things. So these traumas do happen commonly. I believe they are the root of the addiction that we're seeing, the addiction crisis, the opioid crisis that we're seeing in North America. The sexual abuse of children is really will have an impact on a person's sexuality and their intimacy, their ability to be intimate. We're actually doing some research here in Vancouver around childhood trauma and an adult woman's sexual desire. Mm-hmm. And because the two, there's correlations between the two, it's difficult. People who have been sexually abused by their best friend's father or by their uncle or somebody that they trusted at the age of 6 or 5 or 8, they hate sex. Sex is horrible to them. There's nothing pleasurable about it. They've been violated. They have been, so deeply wounded. It's difficult. And many times women are 60s and 70s and I'm the first person that they've ever told. So it is, there's so much shame associated with it. There's so much, and many women shut down sexually, understandably. And so I often say to women, if they tell me that they had been sexually abused as a child, as a 4-year-old, 8-year-old, say, did you tell your parents? Did you tell your mother? And they will say, yes or no. But, that's important, because those who were able to go to somebody who stood up for them, somebody who went after the abuser or pulled them out of that situation or believed them, that's critical in the healing process. And so that is that piece. But yet, so many little girls who may have gone to their mothers and told them, the mother, who's reliant perhaps on her boyfriend financially, is in denial and refuses to look at it and says, oh, you're making that up, or, furthering the injury, furthering the damage to the mind.
Right. And if someone's 55 and they've never told anyone, there's decades there of unresolved pain and grief.
And likely a number of failed relationships tied to sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And sexual desire.
Right. And then the piece is not about I'm too busy or I don't know why, but I just don't have any sexual desire. That there's some underlying stuff that needs to be worked on.
We medicate in so many different ways in this country and on this continent in North America. And one of those ways is busy, is being busy, because we want to we want to medicate the pain. We want to numb the pain. And so a woman who may absolutely be exhausted is because she's constantly staying busy so that she doesn't have to remember those thoughts, or she doesn't have to become, or she might be exhausted from those recurring thoughts coming into her head that she was at fault. She shouldn't have worn that dress. She shouldn't have been drunk. Whatever. Many mm-hmm. women have a post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of it. Often they go on antidepressants thinking that it's a depression, but it's actually a complex PTSD. And so busy can be a symptom of the underlying problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are out of time. I can't believe we are, but thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Maureen McGrath is the author of the book, Sex and Health, Why One Can't Come Without the Other. Her website is backtothebedroom.ca. She's on Twitter at @backtothebedroom2, and on Facebook, Maureen McGrath. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. I hope that before the month is out, I will be able to bring you my show from swing set takes over desire, because it's going to be a really good one. So you don't want to miss it. Until then, you can get me on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram at Tristan Taramino. You can get the show at Sex Out Loud Radio, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.